Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my mum.
Hi.
When she decides to sit down. Yeah, you come through?
I can, actually. You what? Probably can't.
Oh, I actually can, thank you. Yeah, I had a colonic today. Sue me.
Dolly, I'm embarrassed for you.
I've just come back from a very lovely holiday in Cyprus where I, you know, indulged and I needed a reset and I thought a colonic would do that. I don't know if it did.
Jesus.
Didn't make me feel like Cindy Crawford when I came out, but I'm off the booze tonight. Anyway, how are you?
I'm okay, actually. It's been good. The most beautiful sunny day, feeling pretty perky, a little bit tired now.
Perky?
Yeah, a bit tired now.
You're very excited about this guest, as am I.
More excited than I think I've been about anyone.
Tell everybody who we have on the podcast.
Well, if I say nothing fancy or dining in, who would you think of, Jess?
Well, I know who that is. It's Alison Roman, one of our favourite chefs, who
favorite.
We have been cooking for everybody. We cook for Catherine Ryan, a whole meal.
Yeah.
Rose Matafea, who also loves Alison Roman. My sister, when I told her that we were doing Alison Roman tonight, she said, Jessie, where were you in 2019?
Yeah, where were we?
I don't know.
Don't
I think
know
we were
either.
Tackling a Ottolenghi vegetarian dish.
Also, lovely Marina Murphy, who lives in LA.
Yeah.
At her book launch last week, because she loves her so much.
Everyone loves Alison Roman. If you don't know who Alison Roman is, she is a chef. She has written for Bon Appetit. She has her own YouTube channel. She's written for New York Times. She has worked in some of the most amazing restaurants. She is the shit.
But also, she writes the most accessible cookbooks you'll ever read, that everyone can do something. She might say nothing fancy, but it turns out really super duper fancy and gorgeous.
It's really, really our kind of cooking. If you like the podcast and you like what we cook, well, a lot of it has been Alison Roman recently, but also it's exactly how we like to cook.
Yeah, I was nearly going to cook from her cookbook today because I love all her... Well, only because I like all her recipes so
much. Well, tell us what you are going to cook instead.
So I'm cooking from a cookbook called Ripe Figs by Yasmin Khan. And it's recipes and stories from the Eastern Mediterranean. I really love it. And so I'm cooking chicken in pomegranate molasses with sumac.
Yum.
It looks a bit barbecue-y. And actually, I'm sure... And it's been marinating for a whole night.
A whole night?
Yeah, I did it last night when I got in from babysitting.
Well, thank you for that, Mum.
Yeah. And I did catch my finger in your back door.
Oh, Mum.
Yeah. Drove me, yeah.
Good
drove
thing me. I cooked for you yesterday,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, you did. It was delicious,
thank
darling.
You. So we're doing that, and then what are you doing for sides?
Well, I'm doing a version of my shot carrots, which aren't really shot carrots, but it's from the Bevel cookbook where you put you boil the carrots, then shock them by putting them in cold water. So you and I call it shot carrots. I'm doing the warm aubergine salad that I've done before because I thought it would go. And I've made a version of bejeweled rice. I don't know what it's going to be like. And you've complained that it doesn't look very...
It needs a bit of green. It needs a herb
on
it.
Okay.
What's in your bejeweled
rice? It's cardamom, cinnamon stick, bay leaf, cumin and fennel seeds.
Wow.
Some onion.
Yeah.
Orange peel.
Are there dates in there?
Orange peel. There was some little bits of cranberries and some apricots cut up.
And pomegranates.
Pomegranate seeds later.
It looks very nice. I just think it could have a bit of green on it.
Okay, I'll put the green on.
And then what have you done for pudding?
Well, one of those things that come up on Instagram, I thought that looks lovely. Because I do like coffee desserts.
Me too. It's
Nigella's cappuccino pavlova. So it looks like coffee. It looks like a cappuccino, the exact colour of a cappuccino. And then you put the cream on top and some cocoa. But I've put some grated dark chocolate
lovely.
On the top. Yeah.
Because we fancy.
Yeah.
Alison Roman coming up on table.
So excited.
Alison Roman, you are here.
I'm here with you.
You are here.
I'm so happy.
Looking fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Bit sad you're not cooking tonight because you have been...
Yeah. Our big inspiration.
A big inspiration for this, like, the last two seasons. Also, it's been this wonderful... Well, this is the best thing about a great cookbook.
It's been an awakening.
It's been an awakening, but it's also been how I love to cook and how all my friends love to cook.
Okay.
So it's been this thing of, have you got nothing fancy? Well, no, we'll go and get it. Oh my God, have you tried the slow roasted tomatoes and chicken? Do it. It's
People
so
were
easy.
So excited when they saw that on your podcast. They're like, oh my God.
I'm so excited.
And but, then I was excited, but like the people generally
the
were
people,
like, the people really love
this. Well, this is, we're giving the people what they want. You're in Clapham.
Yeah, were you in LA yesterday?
It feels like it, but no, last week.
No, because my friend went, my friend's daughter went to your book launch last Monday. That's right. And she was so excited. But I must tell you, you're one of the few people, whenever I say Alison Roman, and I think they won't know her. You know, she's American.
I think this is going to be a compliment
it's
in a minute.
It's our favourite. And then someone said to me, I cooked from them last night from Dining In. And I said to Jessie, have you got Dining In? She said, no.
I haven't got Dining In.
We've already ordered it.
Have I got all the Harry Potters? No, I haven't.
I've already ordered it because he did something like chicken with paprika and lime.
Oh, yeah, that
no,
one's
Simon
really good.
Simon Sandberg, okay. Cooked for Graham. Paprika and lime. And he said it's the most delicious thing in the world.
It's very good. It's like basically slow roasted, like the tomato one.
Yeah.
Right? But different. And in Dining In, I take the spine out, like I spatchcock it.
Uh-huh.
And then it just gets rubbed with like grated garlic, olive oil, smoked paprika, and I think fennel seed.
Yum.
And then it's like $3.25 for 2.5-3 hours, whatever. But I cut up whole lemons. It's excellent. It's a very, very good chicken. Chicken is like my favorite thing to write recipes for because it is the thing that I want to eat most often.
Well, it's a good thing because you're having chicken tonight.
Oh, perfect.
It's not going to be slow roasted though.
That's okay.
And it doesn't have an anchovy in it, I'm afraid.
That's fine. I was very curious what if you were going to like play the hits to me. Or it's like wearing the band's shirt. It's like wearing your shirt to your own show or something.
I did nearly cut one of yours.
I mean, that's also
good. I can't
do
that. So it's from a book which is really beautiful called Cooking with Figs. And it's a lady that's clearly taken a journey around Greece, Syria, Lebanon, all different places.
Levant?
Yeah,
did you say Levant or Levant?
Levant, I think.
Levant.
I don't know. It's really nice cookbook.
That sounds amazing. It sounds exactly like what I want to eat.
So it's chicken with... cooked in pomegranate.
And sumac. Beautiful.
Lovely. Yeah, pomegranate and sumac.
And then you've done
a bejeweled rice. Which it,
stunning.
Yeah, fine.
No, great. I love it.
And then shocked. Well, have you been to Bevel in LA?
Yes.
Right, it's a version of their carrots, but I love it. And Jess says, what are you making? I say shocked carrots. You boil them and then you put them in cold water to shock them.
And it's with like yogurt and tahini. And you should have had dill, but we don't have dill, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no dill. Interesting, no, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
That's okay. I don't need it every day.
And also...
I'm in a bit of a break.
I do need to know, because we've also got pudding, but I know that you've got a reservation. So, well, I don't know if you're meeting friends.
I told them I'm eating here with you.
Are you sure? But you are going to quite a good restaurant. So I feel like you may need to...
Are you going to a restaurant later?
Oh, yeah, but
where?
It's
large. Which one?
Kiln.
Which
is a great
Thai
restaurant.
Food, it's like grill, smoky Thai.
I'll give you a kind of Philippa-sized portion so you can kind of, you know...
I have such a... And I this happens in New York a lot, where if I go out to eat with people who are not eating as much as me, I'm like, what's wrong? I'm like, you're not eating... I clock it. I notice, and I'm like... What's happening here? Why are we not eating the same amount of food?
And why is it usually? Is it because you've eaten all of it? Because you're greedy like me?
No, it's because somebody's like not eating at the time or something. Something's up.
I'm eating, Mum. I'm eating. I'm just not eating bloody raw carrots because I had a colonic. I'm sorry.
This should really be on video. This is the dynamic is unbelievable. Better than anyone thinks it is. Anyone at home listening, thinking how wonderful you two are in person is just so much better.
Okay, thank you.
Exceeded expectations.
Give Lenny somebody shut Lenny up on Netflix. Yeah, right, great, perfect. So, Alison, you grew up in New York?
I grew up in LA.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting to move to New York.
Yeah, not a ton of people do. And if they do, they always move back to LA.
Do you think you're going
to
move back?
Not ever. I'd sooner move to London. I'm just keep Why? Taking me east. It's just an energy thing. I think LA is great to visit. I'm grateful to be from there. I have a beautiful understanding and appreciation for produce and vegetables and seasonality and sunshine and et cetera, hikes. but I don't need to live there. And I can always visit. And I do visit often. I'm there often for work. I see my family. There's always a reason to be in LA. I don't ever feel like I need to live there. Too much traffic. I get really car sick.
Okay.
Oh.
Where are you from in LA?
The Valley. Like San Fernando Valley. So people, which like 10 years ago, people were like, what's the Valley? But now everyone's like, I live in Sherman Oaks.
Heim
exactly. Yeah. And Heim really, I got a credit for cracking the Valley code. I feel like listening to them talk about it so affectionately, I feel embarrassed that I didn't do a better job sooner.
Being an advocate of the Valley.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Not that it's a contest.
You said you left and you went
exactly.
Lived in New York.
And I'm like, I live in. People are like, oh, you're from New York. I'm like, I'm from the Valley. But yeah, but I love California.
Is everybody Jewish in the Valley?
No, just we are.
Oh, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A lot of people are, but no. Yeah. I weirdly went to a Catholic high school, but not because it was only because it was like the school that I could go to that was in my district for a multitude of reasons. But yeah, my dad's Jewish.
So did you grow up with Jewish food?
I did.
What was a really memorable dish from your childhood and who was cooking it?
It was like less so about cooking. My dad really started cooking, I think, more later in life. Like he cooks often now. A lot of my recipes, which for support, but also I think I'm like, it's like at his level. And he just has more time because the kids are out of the house and he's like just cooking for him and my stepmom. But growing up, it was like we would go to Langer's Deli and eat the pastrami. We would go to Solly's, which is like a Jewish deli, and have matzo ball soup. It was like the experience of eating out at Jewish delis. But like he would always bring home knish that were like frozen in a box and I would just make them constantly for myself.
You loved them?
Loved
them. Knish are the best.
Best. And I mean, now the knish that I get in New York are nothing like the ones that were in the box. But
where do you get your knish from in New York?
There's a place called Moishe's, but I think they may have closed. Or they closed but maybe reopened. They were next to Russ and Daughters. But I think they moved. Someone has to fact check me. But I think they either moved or closed or nothing happened and I made this up. But
have you ever made a knish?
Not ever, but I aspire to.
Me too.
Do you think it's hard?
Yeah, I do. I think it's annoying and I think it's hard.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you're a pastry chef.
Right? I used to be.
Can you make babka?
Of course she can. I can make babka. I can make a delicious babka.
I aspire to make a babka.
But it's annoying. But you know, my babka is like not even real because I'm using brioche.
It's so...
Like I'm not even really doing it.
Hang on, you're using already established brioche.
No. Like brioche I make a brioche.
Recipe. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, got it.
But right. I think traditionally babka does not have butter because often it is kosher.
Yeah. Okay, you cut your teeth with pastry.
I did. So I grew up in LA. I started working in restaurants there.
Where?
There's a restaurant called Sona. It's closed now.
Okay.
Now it's like a gentleman's club. I keep saying it's a gentleman's club. It's not. It's like a members club or something called The Nice Guy.
Okay.
In West Hollywood. Have you been there?
I have not.
Have you been invited to a party there?
No, sadly not. I've seen people paparazzi'd outside.
Exactly. Like I think Drake goes there or something. I just assume you're hanging out with them.
People go to...
You've never been papped outside there, darling? No. You're losing it.
I never had it to lose. Darling, so yeah, okay.
But I worked as a pastry chef there. But the only reason I took that job was because they were going to give it to me in a restaurant. And... otherwise, there was no job available in the restaurant. And it was like a 9-person kitchen. So it was really tiny. And I was going to go to culinary school. And I said, well, I need a job to pay my way through culinary school. Like I wasn't really getting any assistance. And so...
Was this a first career?
Yes, so I was 19.
So you were 19. You didn't want to be a nuclear physicist.
It was not in the cards for me. Okay. No, I find I'm very smart. I'm not that smart. I'm not smart in that way. You know, that was never going to be it for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I decided to leave college and pursue like working in restaurants full time. And the man who I met at the door ended up being the pastry chef. He offered me a job. And I took it. And he's like, I think I would save your money. And if you, you know, a lot of people that work in a restaurant hate it. It's really hard. You don't make any money. It's tough. And, you know, rather than go into debt, I can pay you, you know, like $7 an hour. And you can work for me and see if you even like it.
Did you?
I loved it. I loved it so much. It was so hard. But I, like, immediately was like, this is exactly where I want to be.
But it must have been quite exhausting. And also, it's a lot of men. Not as many women as
it was a lot
the
of men.
Balance.
Did you like that?
Not especially, but I didn't have any real feelings about it. It was
they weren't harsh towards you because you were not a woman.
Weren't harsher to me than to each other.
Okay.
And I wasn't the only woman. I worked in the department with another woman, and there were at least one or two other. It was like actually a pretty high ratio for restaurants, but also again, small group of people. But my direct boss was a man, and he was such a gentle soul, still is. He's still with us. Dark. He just was, I think he didn't like actively protect us in like a bullish way, but he was just, you know, as our mentor, as our person, and everyone really respected him because he was so, so talented and so kind that it sort of, you know, bred that sort of treatment, I guess. But despite it being like a fine dining restaurant, James Beard, Michelin star, et cetera, tasting menu, it was still like a very tender environment. Mm-hmm. And it was like really learning was the focus. And it was very much like able to learn on the job.
Did you have any disasters?
Every day. All the time.
Anything like is etched in your mind?
No, I've probably blocked it out. But it was also now at this point like almost 20 years ago.
But so, I find it quite interesting that you started in that world, but yet you're approach with cooking is kind of the opposite of
yes.
It's not meticulous,
no.
Which is what pulls me to you because it's like, well, shove a few of them in, and if you want, you know, and it's like, you know, more garlic, do this, but you know, you've kind of, it's very much, I love how you empower the person who's cooking it to be like, look, you can do it this way, these are my suggestions, it's gonna work, I would do this, you can do that if you want, and I love it. And it's like, you know, even the title's nothing fancy, it's kind of the opposite of what a pastry chef, I presume you kind of learn.
Yeah.
So did you reject that world almost?
I did, but I also was learning from people who sort of encouraged a different attitude about pastry, who really did treat it like savory food in that, like, you know, you should add salt to your desserts, you should cook fruit like vegetables, you should make things have texture and like be as interesting as a savory food. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of like, well, what would happen if you made this chocolate cake without the cocoa powder? It's like, I don't know. Let's find out. What would happen if you made this cake without raisins and you added this instead? It's like, well, let's find out. So it was a lot of experimenting and a lot of like openness to ask questions and fail and be like, oh, that didn't work out. Okay, well, now we know. So I think in my attitude of teaching is that because I've been doing it for so long, I have done things the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I can tell you what works and what doesn't. Mm. So I know that if you do the slow roasted chicken with the tomatoes, if you do it with fennel instead, it's going to be beautiful. If you do it with eggplant, it's going to be weird, you know, because I've tried all these different ways and different things and I can tell you why. I can like, you know, break it down. But most people just want like a few general suggestions on how to mix something up. And some people want to always follow the recipe exactly as written and either work for me.
So would you say you had a classical training?
That doesn't sound classical.
I would say like...
You have to start from basics.
Modern classic.
Okay.
Yeah, in that like I did learn a lot of foundational things for pastry. It's like you learn how to make a dough. You learn how to cream butter and sugar.
Yeah, you've got to. You learn... things like that.
Right, but the desserts we were making were not that classical.
So, okay.
I had that training a little later in my career. I worked for a man named William who had more of a formal style, like a little bit more French, a little bit more... precise a
what
little bit.
What was the name of that restaurant?
It was called Quince in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
So he came in after I had been there and I was working at Quince as like basically doing the pastry department there by myself with a few other people. We didn't really have a boss. It was sort of like we were just in charge of putting things on the menu. And it was very like California casuals, like a lot of galettes and almond cake with peaches and things like that. And then William was hired to sort of level up because they were going to expand the restaurant and have like a bakery attached. And so somebody who had a bit more knowledge, and he was like, it was like layered cakes and like casting with mousse and praline and spraying cakes with like liquid chocolate. Like it was wild. It was a totally different experience, but I learned a lot, and none of that would I ever take with me into my home. But it's sort of like what you do at home is not always what you want to do professionally. Mm-hmm. And I sort of think like, okay, well, I used to be a professional pastry chef and now I'm a professional home cook.
I wouldn't call you a home cook.
Oh, well, I would.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing. You're a chef. You started out.
You could have a restaurant if you wanted one.
Yeah.
Do you want one?
I don't want one. I never want
one. Too much stress.
They're so tough. They're so, especially in the States right now. I have a lot of dear friends who have wonderful, successful restaurants in several cities around the country. And it's really hard. It's really tough to like pay people properly, to charge accordingly, not have people bitching about how expensive food is, to have a life, to have the quality be what you want it to be, to train the right people. It's like, it's just a nightmare.
So what took you to New York? Which restaurant?
Basically not wanting to work at restaurants.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and the absence of love. I had exited a relationship. Pretty much every time I moved cities was because I was going through a breakup. But
wow.
I was sort of like, I grew up in California. I worked in LA. I worked in San Francisco. I was 24. I was like, I'm going to move to New York for 3 months, and then I'm moving back to San Francisco to open a bakery with William, my old boss. I fell in love with New York, and we're still together. And it was
you and you, you.
Yeah, New York and I. And I started, I got a job at Momofuku Milk Bar when they just first opened.
Yeah, because that was when they were doing the crack pies
and
the cereal milk.
What is milk
that? I mean, they still are. I think they still are doing all
that.
But
like that at the time, it was
Allison,
the thing everyone was talking about. What year was that? 2000 and...
That was, I was 24, I'm 37, so math is not my strong suit. But
2008?
I'm like 2003.
2010?
2010.
Thank you, producer Alice.
Yeah, I moved. I guess I moved to New York
Darling,
in 2010.
Do you want some more?
Yeah, that checks out.
I've got another bottle here.
Yeah, because I remember being in New York around that time. It was like the place to get things. We were all just really excited. Yeah. It had just opened up. It was also when, what was it called? Please Don't Tell Place. Was,
oh, yes, exactly.
Do you remember? It was like around that whole time, thing. Right?
And I think like there was just a huge boom in like novelty everything.
Yeah.
Cocktail bars, mixology, desserts, like concept restaurants.
Yeah.
Like it kind of had like a energy to it. There was no Instagram. Like there was internet was like barely a thing on our phones. Like I had a BlackBerry. Actually, at the time I had a flip phone. I had like a T-Mobile flip phone. For those of you listening, no, I'm just kidding. It was just such a different, I mean, it was such a different
time. If, but you think about those places and how... It was like, if you knew about these places, you knew about it. It was the best kept secret.
And I'm so impressed with Christina Tosi and what she's done and how she's still doing it. It's like she had a vision, she executed it, and like is doing the thing that she always wanted, which was like to expand and have like a big like company and to be everywhere.
So then Milk Bar happens and then you start doing some food writing?
No, I left about a year and a half into it. Basically, I started there thinking I was just going to be like a baker during the day. And very quickly, she was like, do you want a salaried position as like a sous chef, basically? And here's health insurance and da da da. And I was like, I do need money. Like I didn't have any money. I $0. And health insurance was nice. And so I said, yes, I took the job. But like I was sort of like, this is not why I moved to New York. I did not move to New York to continue working at a restaurant or a bar or a bakery or anything. Like I moved to New York to kind of expand what I could do in like, quote unquote, the food world. But I never thought, oh, I'll work at a magazine or I'll write a book. Like that was never my goal. I just knew that I wanted to continue working in food, but I knew that I didn't want to like just be making it for strangers with somebody else's vision, you know?
I guess... You starting with that experience of, should we try this? Oh, it's not going to work. Fine. Forgive me if this is not right, but if when I imagine what a pastry chef or somebody that's in, they're instructed on how to do a certain recipe and they execute it day after day brilliantly and they're on their station or whatever. So the fact that you were immediately your first job into development, it makes total sense that you do what you do now, right?
Absolutely, So I don't think that I could have been good at it when I started. So I got a job as like a basically a recipe tester at Bon Appetit. And All that meant was that somebody would hand me a piece of paper with a recipe on it and I'd make it. That was it. I wasn't like putting my touches on it. I wasn't changing it. I was just testing it.
Does it work?
Does it work? And then through that process, learned what made it work, what didn't make it work. And sometimes they were translated from like a chef's kitchen in a restaurant to a home cook's kitchen. And I'm like, well, I know that they're probably making this in a 9-pan or a hotel pan or a whatever. And I know that when they say that, that's what they're talking about. So I have to account for this. So a pot won't work. It's too deep. I need to make it in a baking dish. Like, I felt like I used every ounce of experience, every moment from a restaurant and bakery professionally to like decode and make something work for the home cook. Because I was like, I know what you're saying, but the home cooks don't have that. Mm-hmm. So let's make it work for everybody. I think there's like this misconception that I started working at the magazine was like all of a sudden like writing recipes and I was the main star and like all this stuff. Like, nobody knew my name for 2 years. I wasn't allowed to develop any of my own recipes. I was just there to like learn how magazines work.
Back to your growing up, were your parents good cooks?
Yeah, they were. My dad really more started cooking now. My stepmom is a great cook. Always has been. My mom has always been a great cook. My mom really had like a few of her hits.
Yeah, what were the hits?
A lot of like rice pilaf and grilled salmon and asparagus, like very Californian, steamed artichokes, a butterfly trout with like garlicky breadcrumbs.
Ooh, that's in
dining in. It's fantastic.
See, and that's, I didn't have dining in, yeah. So I need to order an Amazon.
I've ordered it. Okay,
exactly, thank God. It's so good, so easy, and like iconically my mother to do that. But
what would she serve that with?
She would serve that probably with rice pilaf and asparagus or a steamed artichoke. And, you know, it was like, I think because, you know, in California, it's like, oh, I grew up like preparing artichokes. Like,
can you get artichokes all year? Because I went with Hannah and Jonah to Houston's.
Oh, I love Houston's.
I know.
Oh,
so
my
Jonah.
God, do I love that
it's
restaurant.
It's his favorite place on earth. And we went. And they did the most delicious artichokes I've ever tasted.
Oh, yeah, the grilled ones?
The grilled
ones. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How did they do it? Could you do it?
They're fussy.
They must parboil them.
They do.
And then they griddle them.
Yeah.
And they're in half. So they halve them, then griddle.
They're either like poached or steamed or something. At Houston's, I'm imagining I'm doing them in like very large batches
the
in the oven.
The most delicious things I've ever tasted.
I'm boiling them until they're done and then I'm grilling
them.
You
don't even mind the fuss of them because they're so delicious.
No. And what, do they come with a dip?
No, they're slightly, is it?
There's like grilled lemon
grilled
or something.
Grilled lemon, yeah.
I gotta get back there. I've been in Houston's in like 4 years.
Do they
but
have
there's
one
also
in New York?
A recipe for that in dining in.
Oh, you see? You've missed
and maybe,
out, Jess.
And accidentally inspired by Houston's. But I think also just California, I feel like artichokes are the state's mascot.
So what does inspire you? I mean, when you come up with something like, well, the one that Jesse and I know best, which is the slow roast chicken with the oregano and the tomatoes, and it works so amazingly well.
Yeah,
so where did you get that? Where did it come from?
I don't know. Most of the food that the recipes that I develop come from like, what do I want to eat right now? Mm, like what sounds really good to me? I couldn't write a book in a day. I couldn't even write a table of contents in a day because what I feel like eating is so different all the time. And sometimes it's inspired by a meal out that I have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's inspired by, I'll go to a restaurant and read something on the menu and then I order it and then it's so different than what I thought it would be. It'll just say like, you know, chicken, peas and herbs. And I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing. And in my head, I'm like imagining what I would do and how that comes together and what comes. And I'm like, oh, this isn't right. And then I feel really inspired to go make a version of like just using those three words. I'm like, that feels like now I have a mission.
I take pictures of menus
and then
try and replicate what they've made.
That's amazing.
It's not amazing, but I find that it's easier for me.
But that's what Alison's saying with the words, three words.
I think that like, and I think sometimes I'll come up with like a phrase or I'll just think of something or two ingredients together. I'm like, oh, that sounds really nice. I've never had that, but sounds good.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Alison, when you were looking for love and you were travelling all around, you see, this is why I haven't travelled much, Jess.
Why?
You didn't have to look for love.
I have travelled quite a lot, yeah. Thank you, yeah.
But when you were looking for love...
And I don't think she was looking for love. Well, she was looking for work.
She was looking for work, but she was hoping that
looking
she'd
Looking for
find
myself.
Love.
I was looking for myself.
All right, you hope you might find love on the way.
Mum's turned it into, which
this
I do love.
This is a romance here. Stop spoiling it.
Okay,
fine. What would you cook to impress?
It would have to be like the fourth or fifth date.
Oh, you held back.
I don't even eat dinner on the first date.
No kissing on the first date.
No, I don't think, I'd rather kiss than have dinner.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, it's true. I'm not cooking for anyone and I'm not eating with you on the first date.
Sweet.
Not even
what
at a
did
restaurant.
You do on the first?
Go get drinks.
What? You went for
You're so New York.
Yeah, I mean, if there's like a dish of olives that appears, like if things go well, the move is on a first date, what you do is you sit at the bar at a sexy little place, you meet for drinks, quote unquote. If it's going well, you say, oh, should we get a few snacks and see if they can hang? And then maybe there's like,
this is so
a snack
sex
moment.
In the city,
but if
isn't
it's not
it?
Going well, then you say thank you so much and you leave.
Are you a professional dater?
Well, not anymore. I'm off the table now.
Okay.
So
I need a few tips.
I can, if you move to New York, I can help you.
Okay.
What have you been returning back to recently, kind of whether it's a comfort food or something that you're making that you're like, I can do this really quickly and it's really satisfying?
Before this book came out, I was in such like a, I was doing so much preparation for the book coming out and like with press and preparing for the tour and planning the tour and all that stuff. And then I went on tour and now I'm here. And so I haven't cooked anything really that wasn't for like home movies, which we just shot a few of in like, I want to say a month and a half, 2 months, which is like killing me. Like I haven't cooked in so long, but I did just do like a crispy sort of chickpea dish with a lot of herbs as like a thing that I used to eat almost every day. I would open up a tin of chickpeas. I wasn't cooking them from dry.
How do you make your chickpeas crispy?
Well, they're more frizzled. I call them frizzled.
Yeah, I couldn't get...
You did your frizzled one.
They didn't frizzle for me. No. And I wonder whether it's because they were too wet and I should have dried them
a bit
before.
Were you impatient?
I don't think they're always going to be kind of wet. I think that's okay. I think for me, either the heat's not high enough or there's not enough oil.
Okay.
Yeah. I also find that the quality of chickpea, like some chickpeas that don't have salt and some chickpeas that do have salt, like kind of behave differently when you're cooking them that way. Over the years, I've really noticed like subtle differences in ingredients that I would have never thought of before. I'm like, oh, why are these not cooking the same? I'm like, oh, because this has no salt added, or these whole tomatoes are in juice, not pulp, and that's why the sauce is thicker, or whatever. Like so many small things that you're like, oh, I'm just buying a can of something. It's like everything is really different. There's not a ton of consistency, even less so from where I live to where we are now.
Who is your favorite chef? Not your favorite restaurant, but who would you follow and think, I know I'm going to be all right when I use that cookbook or if I go to that restaurant because I really love that, the way they cook.
Do you even follow recipes
anymore? You know, I don't. I don't really read cookbooks anymore, but there's a chef, her name is Gabrielle Hamilton, and she had a restaurant called Prune in New York, and it shut in the pandemic, but I think it's coming back in like a limited capacity. But she wrote that book, Blood, Bones, and Butter. Which, if you haven't read, you must
read. Blood, Bones, and Butter.
Yeah,
wow.
It's a memoir. It's, I think, amazing. But when I first moved to New York and I ate at her restaurant for the first time, I was like, oh my God, like this is the kind of cook I want to be. This is the kind of chef I want to be. I want to eat food that makes people feel like this. If I ever had a restaurant, I'd want it to feel like this. She's, I think, just really wonderful. She has like such a perspective and a personality, and it comes through in every single thing she does. And that is so rare, especially these days. I think most people feel more comfortable when they blend into something that's already successful rather than being their own person. And she is absolutely through and through her own person. And you can taste it in her food. You can feel it in her restaurant. I just think it's really special. There is a cookbook that exists. It's called Prune. It's written for her.
We need to get it, Jess.
and basically for her. You know, it's written for people that are fans of her, for fans of her restaurant. It's not written for a home cook who's who's like looking to recreate the recipes.
Okay.
Because they're, I think it's like basically scans of her notes. But it's really like a beautiful exploration into her creative process. And I just have endless respect for her.
You're here in London for what, like 48 hours?
No, for a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I leave Friday.
Let me just hear some more of your reservations that you've got.
So I went to Manteca. Have you heard
of it? Oh, so good.
It was delicious.
Yes.
Newish Italian spot.
Where's
in,
this?
Shoreditch.
In Shoreditch.
How have you been?
Because mom.
She's all about it. She's all about town.
I know.
I went to Rochelle Canteen for lunch.
Oh, my favorite.
Which I love.
I love it.
Rochelle Canteen to me is like, Prune is like the closest, even though the food is very different. The feeling I have when I'm in both places.
Have you been to Towpath Cafe yet?
Yes, loved. Not on this trip, but
I have
been
before.
They've
just reopened. Oh, really? Maybe you should go there.
Yeah, on like a sunny day, which this week, fingers crossed.
Yeah, you could walk down the canal.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it there.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. Oh, I did Saturday Kitchen. So
how was
so
that?
I fell off my chair.
Oh, my.
On live television.
Wow. I bet people loved it.
People did
the
love
Brits
it.
Love that kind of shit.
But like, yeah.
I mean, how badly did you fall off?
Like, badly enough to where everyone was like, oh my God, is she okay?
Oh, no.
But I was fine.
Oh,
I was more just like, so embarrassed.
Oh, like, mate.
And like,
why
don't get
why did you fall off your chair?
It's such a dumb long, it's not even a long story. It's just a stupid story where
I'm
I thought the chair that I was, whatever. There was a chair and a stool. And the two chairs were so far apart from each other. And like when you're at Saturday Kitchen, you're supposed to like be sitting next to the person. Yeah. And I was like, this can't be right. I was like, this chair must be for Matt, like the host, because it's way too far away.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I guess I'm going to sit in this stool.
Was it broken?
The stool was for the wine and it had three legs and was not a chair, was not able to support a person.
Allison, I'm sorry.
I just absolutely ate it. I recovered because like...
Oh, but did everyone kind of fuss around you and then it was just more embarrassing? You needed everyone to laugh a bit.
Yeah, and well, nobody fussed. Everyone just kind of watched it happen. Nobody offered to pick me up or anything, which is fine. I didn't need help getting picked up. That would have been worse. But like everyone did, it was sort of like are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine. Let's move on. And then like they wouldn't let me move on.
Oh, babe.
And it was like, let's talk about it for the rest of the show.
Thank
God it happened at the end of the show.
Okay.
I think they were just like, oh, this is funny. And I'm like, yes, it's so funny.
It's so funny. I want
to
cry.
I'd love to move on, though.
Anyway, did you cook?
I did, yeah. I made some desserts from the book.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did like a raspberry ricotta cake.
Nice.
And then,
easy to make?
Beautiful. So easy. Like,
don't believe
no
you.
Mix. It is.
No mixing.
Oh, well, you mix, but you don't need a mixer.
Yeah, but like, you don't need to like... This looks
so
great,
this
Mum.
Looks so beautiful.
This looks fab.
This is stunning.
Yeah, very gorgeous, Mum. It's.
I can't pan it because your mum makes bejeweled rice.
Oh,
whatever. I'd never have made that mistake.
Wait, what? Just have another glug of your wine and then everything.
It won't matter.
This chicken's delicious.
Mum, the chicken's
it's really so good.
Very, very delicious.
It's tart, it's salty, it's juicy.
Good. Last Supper, Alison Roman. You've got a starter or an appetizer, as you Yanks like to call it, a main and a dessert and a drink of choice.
She could choose from each of her cookbooks, darling.
Oh.
I would never.
Okay.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Yeah.
Because if it's my... Although it would be very me to pick something that I'm like in control of, to be like, oh, my Last Supper,
right.
I'm cooking my
okay,
own food.
You can put one of your recipes in.
No, I don't need to do that. It's honestly going to be like... A beautiful shrimp cocktail.
From anywhere particular? Like,
sorry,
you
prawn cocktail?
It.
Prawn cocktail?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Anywhere that the prawns are good. Anywhere that like, and the cocktail sauce is really lemony and has a lot of horseradish and Worcestershire.
Do you have a prawn cocktail?
I do. Yeah, it's in nothing fancy.
Okay, well maybe I'll make it.
I think you should.
Okay.
I think it's very good.
Aren't we going for the nothing fancy prawn cocktail?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Okay, I'm happy.
And then like a beautiful steak, like a 2-inch thick ribeye, basted in butter, with crushed garlic and lots of herbs at the end. And like...
How rare do you like your meat?
I like pretty rare.
Me too.
Not like full bloody, but I mean, if I'm ordering at a restaurant, I say medium rare.
The greatest shock of my life was going to Argentina.
Mm. What happened there?
They always go up.
It's medium. It's never got anything.
It was really sad for me.
It's so upsetting.
Like,
the best meat and it's well done.
That's really
tough.
And
they think you're slightly odd when you say I want it.
I know. And you know, sometimes like in Mexico when you're there and they do like the sort of like carne asada and the meat is like so cooked that it's crispy and it's like,
yeah,
then
it.
The fat, oh, I love that. See, that to me, yeah, it. Because then it's like not about rare. It's about texture mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. meatiness and saltiness and crispy bits. And I support that. Like if you're going to cook it, cook the hell out of it. But if you're going to cook it for like steak experience, I want it medium rare to rare. Yeah, and I want it like a beautiful crust on the outside and like lots of flaky salt on top.
Are you having any condiments with your steak?
I mean, if I get a choice, if that can happen. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I'm doing like cream spinach. I'm doing like beautiful little, like I think you call them Jersey potatoes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're the best.
Yeah, like boiled and then like tossed in butter, like maybe crushed slightly with like lots of flaky salt, chives.
You can get
chives.
Those nice waxy potatoes in
they tend
in
to be
America,
a little large though.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because Yukon mm-hmm. golds are great. We don't have Meyer lemons.
Oh, we don't really have them in New York. They're okay. interesting, but they're too sweet for like.
Do you say Meyer lemon in any of your recipes?
I think there's a few. Yeah, where I'm like, this is great with Meyer lemons, but if not, like regular lemons are fine.
I think you've never heard of it. They're a bit sweeter. Okay.
They're like the juice isn't sweeter. They're just more floral. And the skin is very, very thin. So anytime you're doing like a whole lemon cooking, which I do often, it's nice because the white pith is actually pretty
thin. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the main and the starter.
And then a dessert is going to be like a key lime pie.
Mm.
Or a salted lemon cream pie, which is basically the same thing, but with lemon.
A salted lemon cream pie. Mm-hmm.
That's in the new book.
Salted lemon.
Yeah, you can make that too. No mixer.
Oh, you're talking my language. Yeah.
You will like the dessert book, I think, because it is made for people who prefer to cook and like have intuition and like to kind of be like, oh, I didn't have this, but I used that. And I mean, this has all been so, so delicious.
It is delicious, Mom.
And like, I think that it's like a cook sensibility can take really well to that the dessert book because you're like, oh, I didn't, you know, I'm using this instead of that. I'm having this fruit instead of that. And most of the stuff, it's like all you need is a mixing bowl and your hands. And like a sheet pan or, you know, a cake pan or a pie plate. Like you don't need a ton of equipment or anything fancy. And to me, it's like they're the ultimate pantry recipes. You have like butter, sugar, flour.
I did your crunchy chocolate cake from Nothing Fancy.
Oh, yeah. That one's so good. Yeah.
That is so good.
It's also flourless. Good for Passover.
Yes.
K for P.
Yeah. Shabbat shalom. what's your drink of choice?
My drink of choice is a martini if I'm having one beverage.
How do you take it?
I take it vodka. I used to take it gin. If I'm doing dirty, it's gin.
Ooh.
If I'm doing a twist, it's vodka. But more often than not, I'm doing vodka martini, twist, and an olive.
You do a twist and an olive?
Yeah,
oh.
I do.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I love it. It's fantastic. It's not dirty. It's just the olive and the sheer alcohol.
So, okay, interesting. Quite actual. Nothing fancy.
No, I mean, nothing would be fancy. I mean,
considered.
And when people ask me this question, sometimes I change the answer to like, it's like a perfect roast chicken with like a big leafy salad. Oh, there's a big leafy salad on the table too.
Mm.
With the steak. Yeah.
So, and like, what's your dressing?
Herbs, fresh lemon juice, olive oil, crunchy salt, and pepper. No mustard.
Simple.
No honey, no vinaigrette. I don't believe in vinaigrette.
What herbs are your favorite?
Really bold statement to just like whisper.
I know.
What's that? Say it loud.
I don't believe in vinaigrettes.
Why?
Because I think that it's an extra step that you don't need to do.
Okay.
And unless it's a creamy dressing that needs emulsification, there's no reason I'm going to take another bowl, mix things together to then pour over something else. I'm going to take the acid. I'm going to take the lemon juice or the vinegar or the whatever. I'm going to pour it over my greens. I'm going to taste it, season it with salt and pepper. Okay, it's acidic enough. And then I'm going to drizzle it with some olive oil to finish.
Yeah.
And then it's like everything is well seasoned. I'm not like, how many times have you made a vinaigrette and you're like, oh, it's perfect. I love it. And then you dress your salad and you're like, why does it taste like oil? Because the oil floats or the thing. And it's like imbalanced and you add more dressing and then the lettuces are soggy. It's the worst.
So, and that's, I've never really thought about whether to put the lemon on before the olive oil. So you'll always put the lemon on before.
Well, it's like, imagine like if you're getting ready for bed at night, you wash your face. Mm. Imagine like you do your toner and then you do your moisturizer. You don't do your moisturizer, then your toner.
Do you think
the moisturizer makes a lot of sense?
Lettuce is that sensitive?
Well, it's like, like you put lotion on your hands and you put it underwater. The water doesn't penetrate your skin. So if you put oil on lettuces, vinegar is never going to get to that oil.
This is another great tip, Alison.
Alison, how many vinegars do you have in your cupboard? How many different sorts?
I have four. I have white distilled.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Red wine, which I don't use often.
Yeah.
White wine. I use that pretty frequently. And apple cider.
What about?
I love sherry, actually. I have a sherry.
Sherry. Muscatel is the one that, like.
Well, I put sherry in that one because I didn't have anything else.
I liked it. I really liked it.
I think balsamic is only for when you're on holiday, when you're like in Venice at a bad restaurant. I said it.
You know what, though?
If you're like in Modena and like going to the birthplace of balsamic and they're like doing things well and right, like, of course. But most balsamic vinegar, especially in the States, is like caramel coloring with like other vinegar added. It's like not real balsamic.
I hardly used it. And I've noticed it's got kind of...
It's getting like musty and weird. Yeah,
musty and weird because I don't use it very much. But your brother does. Use it or lose it.
We should go through your pantry together.
No.
I'm gonna, oh my God, maybe that's a new TV show. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, I'm like, and I just come and clean your kitchen for you.
I could do it.
Annihilate your fucking fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I'd found some very, very long grain rice because I'm very keen on Turkish rice.
What's Turkish rice? I don't know that one.
It seems longer than normal rice.
Okay.
And they
this
cook
rice
it.
Is perfectly cooked, by
I'm
the
sorry,
way.
Sorry, I haven't
Thank
finished.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to eat your
Jesse,
carrot.
Did you?
Well, this rice was fantastic.
Yes.
This recipe was it?
I made it up.
Shut up, Mom!
I put two together.
That's going in the new cookbook.
That's two together because it was a basic one.
You know what I liked about it? I liked how big the orange rind was.
Yeah, without the orange rind, it would have been nothing, to be honest.
This is also delicious.
We have got a dessert.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait.
Are you sure you can do it? Is that a bit like the moisturizer and the toner if you're about to go to Kiln for starters and you'll do it?
No, because they're going to get a head start. I told them I would just come and try.
Okay, fine.
Oh my word, this is not a difficult recipe. Okay, well, it's stunning.
It's Nigella's cappuccino pavlova.
Oh my God. Someone made me a Nigella recipe.
Oh, this is nice. Mm. Oh, that's really nice.
So easy.
Mmm.
Mmm.
Delicious.
I invested in the espresso powder.
Did you?
I also love your plate.
I love that plate.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really stunning.
That's good, Mum, because it's a bit like, nice.
Yeah,
it's
okay. I love the colour.
Chewy, delicious, like it. I just wonder whether it feels like it should have another layer to it.
This is supposed to be like cappuccino, so just the topping.
It's perfect.
I love it, Mum.
But I don't think you could put another layer in, darling.
No.
I would do a taller layer of cream, maybe.
Mm.
She said only 300 mils, so I stuck
Make
with what
five,
she
Nigella.
Said.
Make it five, Nigella, make it five.
Do you like all that new wine stuff?
I do, the new old wine, the natural wine. But I like all wine. I like new wine, I like old wine. I don't like wine that is marketing itself as like so new and natural that like feels like it's being marketed for like a 22-year-old.
The orange stuff.
Yeah, and orange wine can be good. I think it's going to like... go too far. People are going to be like, give me the classics again. And then they're going to come back around being like, you know, some orange wine is actually made classically. It's some of the oldest wine made. Mm. But because it's like new to us, we're like, oh, it's new wine. But it's like some winemakers are like, no, this is how they made it like in the BC days, you know, whatever. And so it's perception and branding and marketing. And like there definitely was like a rush to the natural wine world. And sometimes I'm like drinking a natural wine. I'm like, is it natural or is it bad? You know? And I don't know enough about wine to always know the difference.
I know what I like.
So exactly. I know what I like and I'm finding myself craving like very like crisp white classic whites. But like sometimes like, oh, this is a wine made without sulfites, without, you know, intervention. It's organic grapes, but it's like a classic Vermentino or whatever. Like, you know, it doesn't need to be branded like a cool natural wine for it to be natural because all wine is ostensibly natural.
Natural. Do you have an aroma or a taste that's very nostalgic to you?
I would say garlic butter, probably, because it was the thing that my mom used to serve the artichokes with. And pour over the trout. So for the trout, you take a trout, you butterfly. You could do it with a bronzino, sea bass, whatever. And you take breadcrumbs, panko, or anything, and you make a garlic butter, like melted butter, garlic. Pour it over the breadcrumbs with like parsley. I do it a little bit differently than she did, but I think this is how she did it. And then salt and pepper, and you sprinkle that over the raw fish, like skin side down, and then you broil it. So the crumbs get crispy, the fish cooks through, whatever. But that smell of garlic butter, and then she would make extra garlic butter to serve with the steamed artichoke. So I feel like that...
That just brings you back to the family home.
Like full fat. I think she used salted butter, crushed garlic cloves.
Garlic butter's a great smell, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of basic, but there was something about the way that... I think because she used a garlic press, too. It was just, like, ultra...
Does she still live in L.A.?
I said yes. But she moved to Connecticut, last year.
It's closer to
you.
For
her husband. Yeah. Well, her husband's from there. So she...
Okay.
He wanted to be closer to his family. It's new to me to have my mother so close, yes.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. We have different moms. So my dad and my stepmom had two kids after my dad and mom divorced. So I have a brother and sister. My sister lives in California and my brother lives in Seattle. My brother is a great cook, actually. He is like really good at following recipes and kind of doing his own thing with them. But he cooks probably more often than anyone in my family.
Younger. What would you ask him to cook for you?
There's a recipe in Dining In that he really loves that's like chorizo pasta with clams. And he makes it all the time, apparently. And I think he's like made some tweaks and changes. And I'm like, I'd love to say like, what's your version? Like, show me your version of the chorizo and clam pasta.
It's been such a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, gosh, oh my gosh.
You're so rock and roll talking about food as well.
You need your own TV show.
Thank you so much.
You are doing enough anyway, but it's honestly, it's such a pleasure to meet a chef that I love.
We love cooking your food.
I think so many people just love it and enjoy it, and you're brilliant, and I really wish you all the best with Sweet Enough.
Thank you so much. And also, you've got this thing that everyone feels they know you. So whenever we mention you, everyone goes, oh, we love Alison.
People feel that way about you too as well, I will say. Just so you know. I mean, I felt that. I was like, oh, I'm going to my friend's house.
Was so lovely. She's rock and roll, she's no nonsense, she's kind of a perfect New York chef, isn't she?
She's just gorgeous.
Brilliant, funny, just bright,
funny, knows so
generous.
Much about food as well.
Please write into us if you
Is balsamic dead?
And are you with Alison on the death of vinaigrettes? And do you dress your lettuce leaves with lemon first and then the oil? Do you tone and then moisturize? I've never thought about that. Maybe
I haven't thought about dressing my salad in the same as I do a facial, to be perfectly frank.
Well, it now makes a lot of sense to me, to be honest.
The thing is, though, you know how she said you don't want to make a dressing separately and then put it into the salad? In France, they make the vinaigrette in the salad bowl and then they put the salad in.
Oh. Hold on, Alice, get on the mic for this. Producer Alice has just stepped up after being very silent and listening to all of us for the cuts. Please do tell us what the French do.
So I just have to take issue with the vinaigrette thing.
You were very quiet when she was chatting.
Yeah. And the whole thing about saying, oh, you don't want to make a dressing on the side and then pour it over. In France, they make the vinaigrette in the bowl, and then they put the salad in, and then they toss the salad.
So you, being married to a French man, speaking perfect French, how would you make your vinaigrette? Well, your go-fuck-yourself Alison Roman vinaigrette.
Dijon mustard, olive oil, mix that together first.
Yeah.
Then you put the vinegar in.
Yeah.
Red wine vinegar. I love actual vinegar. I do agree that balsamic vinegar is dead.
I'm kind of with her on that, but
mine's gone all funny.
Yeah, okay, go on.
And then salt and pepper.
You don't put any sweetness in it?
No.
Okay.
You see, now, Jesse's brother, who's the king of salad dressing, uses half a pot of honey.
See, I don't like sweet vinegar. Yeah.
He loves it.
It's too much. Okay, so
I don't use vinegar. If I'm at home, I don't use vinaigrette at all. I'll just put a little bit of olive oil and a tiny bit of maybe balsamic or lemon juice.
I like putting mayonnaise in mine sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Jessie, you've gone.
I do like
her herby salad that's just lemon juice, olive oil, and salt and pepper.
I agree.
That is really good. But she's I think vinaigrette does have a place.
But you were very, very quiet when she said that. And I think,
she was so adamant about the whole thing, wasn't
I don't think she spent a lot of time in France.
Thank you so much to Alison Roman for coming over and before your many different and she didn't make me feel like she didn't want to be here. Like, she was very much like, it didn't feel like she was about to go and
miss Paul Mescal to see us.
Yeah, she missed Paul Mescal for us, so there you go. Loved meeting you. Completely inspired by your recipes. Please go and get, you can either get, well, the new book's out now. It's called Sweet Enough, just like Lenny. And if you don't fancy the sweet one, you can try Dining In or Nothing Fancy. They're all bloody great. Sweet Enough is out now, and actually that could save us for many of these podcasts not knowing what to do for puds. Thank you, Alison Roman. We'll see you very soon, and I really would like to hear from you about this ongoing salad.
Balsamic or not, or vinaigrette.
I need to hear from you guys. I need to get your opinions on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.